And joining me right now here on the phone line to go over the latest on whatever happened to the Miami Dolphins yesterday there in South Florida, he is my good friend, local broadcaster and instructor, and lifelong Dolphins fan, Mike Tuck. Mike, how you doing today?
Well, I'm recovering from the damper that was yesterday in Dolphins history.
Were you shocked by the punishment yesterday?
You know what's weird, Mark, is I guess I just didn't anticipate it coming. So shocked is probably the right word. Like, I saw it come across the bottom line. I had, I don't remember if it was on my phone or ESPN. I don't remember what it was. And I read it, and I thought to myself, wait, what? What now? We're losing a first-round pick? And, you know, then you read through it, and like, oh yeah, that's right. I guess we're investigated for doing some really shady stuff, and that sucks. Yeah, it's a real kick in the crotch. Doesn't feel good as a fan and certainly as an observer of the team. And then you pull away and you go, well, this franchise and the way that it's been run or not run so well, it really is not all that surprising.
I didn't believe the rumor that Tom Brady wanted to go to the Dolphins with Sean Payton. Like, I didn't believe it at first. And yesterday, yesterday was like, no, that really happened. Did you think those rumors were true?
I did maybe not initially. You know, you read a couple of things and then, you know, you start considering the sources and different people in South Florida that were reporting the extent in which the flirtation took place. And then, yeah, at some point I arrived at the conclusion, maybe not right away, but I imagine by about the second or third thing I read is, no, it seems like where there's smoke, there's fire on this one. And heck, from what the NFL investigation showed, is not only were those reporters right on, but it went even deeper than that. You're talking about a flirtation that went back before he even joined the Buccaneers when he was in New England trying to see if he'd be interested in coming to Miami. It just, and it's not, I hate when people immediately go to excuses. Right. So I'll do it so that, you know, I'm not doing that. I'm sure other teams are doing this kind of stuff. And I'm sure I don't care. The Dolphins did it. They did it blatantly. They cheated. And they're completely from Stephen Ross's office unapologetic about it, which blows me away. Like, not only was it dumb, but you did it in a way in which you got caught doing it, which is doubling down on the mistake. And now you're getting punished for it. And I'm irritated, Mark, as a fan, that in Stephen Ross's statement yesterday, there was not even an iota of an apology for what he has done to the franchise and costing him two high draft picks with his decision-making.
This is what I took out of it. And I love your statement right there. I agree with you. In typical Dolphins fashion, when they try to execute something, they still blow it. Even in cheating, tampering and cheating. So you get all these punishments, your disgrace, an embarrassment. You still didn't get Tom Brady or Sean Payton. They couldn't even do that right. That's what I'm disappointed in. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. I love how you said that, because it's crazy when you think about other franchises that have gotten in trouble. Like, whether it was, you think, with Belichick and the Jets and the Patriots situation or other things like that. Like, I think the Bucks did when they got Gruden from the Raiders, right? Like, there was a draft trades, but there was tampering involved there. Like, the Knicks here with Jalen Brunson. All those teams actually got what they were going after. The Dolphins did it, and they still didn't get anybody that they were going after, and now they're being punished for it. It sucks, and it reeks of incompetence.
And then I like also in the statement, that's funny you bring up, he doesn't apologize, Stephen Ross. I like the part at the end where he says, like, he doesn't want any distractions. You're the distraction!
Yes, I know. It's like, it is so, oh, man, it's you want to wring the guy's neck. And I know he's not popular down there. And usually owners are sort of, unless they're Jerry Jones, they're sort of out of sight, out of mind. But, man, you are, as you said, you're the reason this is a story. Your subordinates, through you, made all these errors, and you're acting as though, like, you're making a statement like your coach did something wrong or a player did. That's the kind of thing the owner does to sort of cover his team. No, it's you. It all points back to you. A simple, I'm sorry, we made a mistake. Instead, he wanted to beat his chest that the NFL found nothing as far as tampering is concerned. Who cares? As a Dolphins fan, that would have been obviously a black eye for the team and the league, and we would have been going down a road much worse than we are today, but it's still bad. There's no excusing what happened.
All right, we're here with Mike Tuck, so let's clarify this. So Brian Flores was asked by his owner, hey, can you come on my boat and can we talk to this big-time quarterback? And Brian Flores is like, no, we can't do that. That's tampering, right?
Right, right.
So,
yeah, see,
Brian Flores, you know what? He did the right thing. Even though he lost his job, I think he's the good guy in all of this. I think you got to give him all the respect in the world. He did not cheat. He didn't do anything wrong. He lost his job. I think he'll be okay long term. I'm just amazed. I'm happy. I know Flores wanted more, but I'm happy what happened yesterday if you're him. Do you agree with that though, Mike?
Yeah, and I think that I'm sure there will be some, and you know, fan is short for fanatical. There'll be some Dolphins fans that are angry that Flores blew the whistle on the Dolphins, essentially, and have cost them in this situation. Why would you be mad at him? Like, he just did essentially the right thing, as he felt like he was, you know, cheated out of an opportunity. And quite frankly, I believe him on the whole, tampering with, tanking and all the rest of it. They just didn't have the evidence, or he didn't have the evidence. We would have already seen the evidence if he had the evidence. He just didn't have a paper trail or whatever to connect Stephen Ross. So, you know, even Stephen Ross bragging over that is probably as much just fortune that he didn't have that on him.
Don't you feel like Stephen Ross, who's like around 80 years old, don't you think he's like, look, I'm not getting any younger. I got billions of dollars. I got to go get Tom Brady. I got to win something before I die. Don't you feel like that was his mindset after a while? Like, who cares?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of owners in sports that probably, if they care about the product, probably sort of feel that way. It's like, it's now or never kind of thing. Or, you know, a level of impatience even of, hey, they're used to getting what they want. A lot of these billionaires, you know, the new owner of the Panthers, example, David Tepper, he's the second richest owner now behind the Walton family owning the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. Oh, these guys are used to getting what they want, Mark, and they're used to being able to either buying it or coercing it or whatever they need to do to get it. And, you know, they want to take the shortest route possible to winning that Lombardi trophy. And I think for some of them, they find, oh, it's not as simple as just bullying your way through things.
What do you think of Tom Brady now after what you learned yesterday?
I guess he's not a snitch. Otherwise, he could have snitched on the Dolphins. It eliminates the Dolphins. It eliminates the Dolphins from the list of teams. You know, people said about, well, you know, you're choosing. Remember, he said you're choosing that guy over me. I guess it wasn't Ryan Fitzpatrick in this case, because clearly Miami would have chosen him. So it leaves that door open still. I guess it just means that Brady, you know, didn't rat out this and, you know, or anyone else potentially that may have tried to tamper with him over the last handful of years.
Here's one thing on Brady. So you played for New England for like 2 decades, and then you're talking to one of your bitter rivals about jumping ship during the season. And then it's like, it's why I look at the last 2 years differently now. Like, he's winning all these games for the Buccaneers, but the whole time was he talking to Stephen Ross about jumping ship to the Dolphins. And I'm just so confused. Was he talking to the Dolphins in January of this year when the Bucs were trying to get ready for a playoff run? Like, what's the timeline here? I don't know.
That's fair. I think what I would say from my own seat, right, judging from a distance, because I'm not in the same room with him or in the same house as him, I don't think it affected his preparation for a playoff game. You know, even if it did take place in January, I don't think Tom Brady decided to not watch film the week of the Rams game because he knew the Dolphins were interested in with him. So I don't think it affects my vision of him in any way. I think it's just a matter of, you know, you take a call when the call comes. You know, I think, and maybe you've had this personal experience, maybe you haven't. Like, I've interviewed for a job while having a job, and
yes,
that job, which I'm not with anymore, never knew that I did it. And I kept it a secret from everybody because I didn't want anyone knowing about it. If I decided to go, they would have found out I didn't go. No one knows about it. So I think we're all sort of put in that circumstance in life at times.
Look, I'll admit it. I've done that. I have. We're all guilty of that. We are. It's a free country. You could talk to anyone for an employer. I get it. See, I think this kind of like where he retired, then didn't retire. Now he's going to go into broadcasting. Look, dude, moving forward as a fan, I don't know what Brady's going to do. Maybe he'll still become part owner of the Dolphins. Who even knows? It's so crazy. Like, and what about Sean Payton? So was he also the coach of the Saints, but then also wanted to go to the Dolphins? I'm just so confused by the whole thing.
I would almost think maybe he did. Maybe he was only going to do it if Brady went. Maybe, yeah. You know, the realization the Saints weren't going to let him out of it, and so it wasn't going to happen is what undid the whole thing. You know, there's probably some questions that will get answered maybe over the next 5 years that we don't know now. That could provide further intrigue or maybe just put a period on the end of the sentence.
All right, here's your stat. We're here with Mike Tuck. Always love talking football with you. All right, so in the history of the NFL, there's been three punishments where the team lost a first-round pick. I think all three involved Tom Brady somehow. Can you believe that? So Spygate, Deflategate, and what are we calling this? Tampering Gate? What is this? And we're going to do it.
I'm trying to think when Flores, Tank Gate, did we have a name for it when it first came out?
I don't think so.
Maybe we'll have to redefine or come up with a word for it.
Look,
it's a heavy punishment, though. I mean, I know the wording that Goodell used in regards to it being, you know, to an egregious level, one which they haven't seen before, blatant. Those are strong words. I do openly wonder if how accurate they are. I wonder if others have gotten away with worse. But I don't feel like a victim in any way. Like, I'm not a Dolphin fan that would come on and tell you, no, they got screwed on this one. I feel like they screwed themselves on this one. If that's what the league decided was a fair punishment, then fine. It obviously, as a fan, and I'm sure, you know, for a Mike McDaniel coming to work today as the new head coach of the team and or anyone that's on the team, and maybe they don't care as much about draft picks, it's sort of like that kind of sucks. That kind of hurts our chances here as we move forward.
Imagine you're Tua and you're meeting with Stephen Ross for a minute. Hey, Tua, good luck on the season. By the way, don't read the papers because I really wanted to get rid of you for Tom Brady. But don't worry. I got in trouble. Could you imagine, Mike, if they would have gotten Deshaun Watson as well in all of this shenanigans? Yeah. It would have been the craziest thing ever if Watson. Aren't you happy that they did not get Watson after you've seen what's happened?
I'm happy. At some point, you know, rewind the clock. I don't know where we'd have to rewind it to, but some point where we found it wasn't one woman accusing Watson. It was two, it was three, it was four. At some point along that pathway on its way to double digits is where I sort of, as a fan, I don't control it. At the end of the day, I don't control it. If you're a Browns fan, you can't control what happened. You know, is where I'd rather them not. This doesn't seem like something I'd want them to do or feel comfortable cheering for this guy. So, yeah, you know, in retrospect, totally fine that it didn't happen. He might go on and still play great, and maybe he's going to have a Hall of Fame career. Maybe he wins the Super Bowl in Cleveland, but I can rest my head on the pillow okay at night and be okay that they didn't do that.
It's so crazy. All right, I've talked to you here for 14 minutes. Are you excited for a new season of Dolphins football? About the real team?
Yeah, man. Yeah. No, I probably said something like this to you a year ago, and I think it's gone up. Like, my excitement level as a Dolphin fan has not been this high probably since the turn of the century. I mean, you probably have to go back to, like, 98, 99, Marino's last year, legitimately. And this team might have a higher plane than that, but at least in those days, from the Shula to Jimmy Johnson and with Marino, it's like, no, this team has a chance to win. Maybe you're dreaming bigger than what reality is, but you knew they had a chance to win. Last year, thought they had a chance to win. They didn't, and then they did, and then they didn't make it. But the last 2 years, you know, Flores pushed the most out of them. They got 19 wins the last 2 years, Mark. And the thing that that gets me most excited is the commitment to excellence they made coming off of two successful years. Look at the money they've spent. They spent nearly $500 million on the roster, multiple upgrades along the offensive line, at wide receiver, at tailback, at tight end, at quarterback, at head coach, on the defensive side of the ball, bringing people back, bringing people in. It's a team that is committed to winning. I don't know where that will land. I don't know if it gets them to the playoffs. I don't know if it gets them out of the first round. I don't know if it gets them to the AFC title game or the Super Bowl, let alone getting to a Super Bowl like the Bengals did. But the Dolphins now going into this year, I feel like you can dream as big as you want to dream, because if you get into the tournament, I think with the roster they have and the playmakers they have, they got a shot to do big things this year.
Did you like that video when Tua threw the 65-yard pass at practice to Tyreek Hill? You like that?
I lost my mind, Mark. I didn't work the rest of the day. I just took the rest of the day off.
You know what I liked better? Is Tyreek Hill's like looking at the crowd, the fans, and he's trying to get them hyped. I like it. I feel like, you know what he could bring to the table? Some personality, like some swagger. Like, you know what? Like, we're going to punch back. With that, I think they're missing. I think they need an attitude. Do you feel that way?
On the offensive side of the ball, there's little doubt. When they went out and got Tyreek Hill, I probably told you this at the time when we spoke.
Yeah.
It's the most dynamic offensive player they've had since Ricky Williams. And Ricky Williams now is going on more than 15 years ago that he was a Dolphin. So it's been a minute since they've had a threat, a legitimate, like, wow, we're aware of him. People are buying his jersey. That guy on the offensive side. They've had guys on the defensive side that fit that profile. They got guys now on the defensive side that fit that profile. Now they got guys on the offensive side. They're going to keep the other team's defensive coordinator up at night.
Before I let you go, and I always appreciate you coming on, are you excited for the fall where it's going to be football, 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 and then we'll have the magic with Paolo Banchero? Are you ready for this?
Oh, man, always, always. I'm a man for all seasons. I love the summer. Trade deadline in Major League Baseball. You got summer league basketball. You got, everything that makes up a summertime. But the fall, the weather doesn't feel like it, as you know. No. Not here, anyway.
No.
But absolutely. We're in August now. We are, we got a football game coming up tomorrow night. We have college football, a few weeks away. The NFL right after that. Absolutely. I am stoked. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be surprised. That's kind of the way I always feel going into the season is, give me what you got, because we know we can't predict this stuff. We think we can. We try to do it, and then something hits us in the mouth that's like, wow, I didn't see that coming. I can't wait to find out what that is.
Did you like where yesterday from content, so like Juan Soto happens, and everyone's like, oh, this is amazing. And I swear, 2 minutes later, the Dolphins were like, hold my beer. Watch this.
Yes, it was. It was about 2 minutes later. You're right.
It was 2 minutes later. And I, this is what I said for programming. It's like, yeah, that's a big deal in baseball, but I have a bunch of Dolphins fans listening. They want to hear about that. Forget about the San Diego Padres, right? I'm not crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what sports does to you sometimes. Some days it goes 2-3 days, nothing big. You're just kind of you're going through the motions. It's a fun process. And then other times, like I was on the radio on Monday here in Orlando, and I knew I had seen Josina Anderson saying that the Watson decision was likely to come down. I didn't know when though, right? So it's like, all right, I know I'm going to talk about speculation, and then right before I go on the air, it happens. All right, yep, that's the deal today. Is Deshaun Watson is taking over the day, and that's what people want to react to. And you're right, man. A couple of uppercuts yesterday. The bad news and sad news, if you will, of Bill Russell, now Vin Scully, and their passings. But yeah, the sports calendar, man, the clock just keeps moving forward, and there's always something happening.
You know, here's my thing with Deshaun Watson. Like, if you're hosting a show, like, you were right on the air when it happened, so you should be in the moment. But there was a part of me Monday where it's like, okay, I'm going to talk about it for a minute, but at the same time, I was like, well, I don't care about the Cleveland Browns. We're not Browns fans. It's a big story. I get it. But I feel like, hey, let's talk about the Gators and UCF and the Buccaneers. Like, that's how I just felt on Monday. Like, isn't that more important to the local listener? Or should we just keep talking about sexual assault after a while? That's why I get very confused sometimes with how to handle these stories.
It's as your experience, Mark, as I do with mine, it's a fascinating sort of dilemma on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis for us is what is pushing people's buttons today. I think at the end of the day, we're our own unique individuals, and we have to do what motivates us. I think to deliver information with passion behind it, you just have to ask yourself, what am I passionate about today? What are the stories out there that I know I'm going to be fired up over, that I know my audience will have a reaction to? And market to market, that can be different. And I think you just have to do what you think's in the best interest in taking care of your audience. And if you felt like, hey, it's something I want to talk about a little bit but not a lot, I'm totally fine with that. I think some programs talk about it but don't say anything.
Yeah,
I think I heard a lot of that in the last 24 hours, 48 hours, of people talking about it but not actually saying anything to make me think. And I think that's always the challenge when you get a big story like that is, what are you going to bring to the table on it that other people aren't? What are you going to bring up that makes somebody pause and go, I didn't think of it that way? Or, all right, maybe that's a different perspective on things, a different angle to it. So that's, to me, the challenge of doing our job well is for the things that you know you have to bring up, maybe you don't want to. All right, how, if I bring it up, can I bring it up in a way that isn't just getting people to agree with what everyone else is saying?
Well, it was funny where, and I agree with what you're saying. It's funny, like you're watching SportsCenter and they're like, oh no, the Browns, they'll miss these first six games. How can they get through the schedule? And my thought is, I'm like, the Browns are trash. They're always trash. I don't think they've ever won the division since they've come back in 1999. Like, oh no, nope. They're going to lose games. They always lose games. But what's the difference? They had a quarterback who got them to the playoffs, won, beat the Steelers, should have beaten Kansas City. Then he gets injured last year, and then they make him the fall guy. They get rid of him for a bag of peanuts, and then they get Watson. They're a trash. If you want my opinion, I have no respect for that franchise. None. So why talk about them for 3 hours? I'm sorry. That's my opinion. There. You want your opinion?
No.
There's mine. I know. I got to look.
That's an opinion.
This is my opinion.
That's an opinion, Matt. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, again, everyone has their own. We can agree or we can disagree, but that's an opinion on something. And I think,
I know,
you know, for something like that, it's, yeah, you can present that angle. If you're ESPN and national, you're going to do part of that angle. You're going to do the sexual assault angle. You're going to approach it from a lot of different ways. To each their own. That's okay. If your audience is going to absorb what they want to absorb.
My audience is like, we got to get the Dolphins into the playoffs. Okay. So they're thinking.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of that. It's, or, you know, what's Lawrence and the Jags going to look like this year? Or, you know, how are the Gators going to open up against Utah at home? Like, there's always that stuff.
It's just fascinating, these conversations. It really was. Mike Tuck, thank you so much for your help as always, and have a great day. All right.
It's a pleasure, my man. Always, Mark.